interested in me. I intend to marry for love.
Valda faced her stepfather as she spoke with a defiance that only succeeded in making her look even more attractive than usual. She was an exceedingly lovely girl, so it was not surprising that both her mother and stepfather were much concerned for her future. Besides the fact that Valda had the deep red hair beloved of the Viennese, she had blue eyes, which were typically English, and to frame them, dark lashes that her father had always averred were owed to some Irish ancestor. One thing was quite certain, the Comte thought as he looked at her. She certainly did not look French, and, as he already knew, the Frenchmen who had seen her when they were in Paris had been fulsome in their compliments. But if nature had not been generous enough in endowing Valda with a beautiful face, a slim, graceful body, and an intelligent mind, she was also extremely wealthy. Her father had left a very great fortune to his only child, and the Comte, who was an extremely conscientious man, was not unnaturally worried about his stepdaughter's future. "You know as well as I do, Valda," he said, "that marriages in France are arranged."
"Then I will not accept a French husband,"
Valda asserted sharply. "And do not imagine that things are very different in England," the Comte continued, as if she had not spoken. "An English heiress like yourself is always married off to a distinguished aristocrat who is finding it difficult to keep up his estates."
"Surely there must be some country in the world where love is considered important," Valda asked.
There was something wistful in the question, and the Comte's eyes softened as he replied, "Love is what everyone seeks, Valda. In most cases, men and women who enjoy the same tastes and share the same interests find in their marriage a companionship which deepens into love."
"You fell in love with my mamma,"
Valda pointed out. "That is true," the Comte answered. "But she was a widow, and not a girl of 18 who, quite frankly, is incapable of knowing her own mind."
"Why should you think that?"
Valda asked, and now the defiance was back in her voice. The Comte smiled. "You have been brought up very strictly," he said, "and although you have travelled a certain amount, you have never done anything on your own."
"That is not my fault," Valda retorted.
"I am not suggesting it is a fault," the Comte replied. "In fact, I believe it to have been eminently sensible. But the fact remains that you have never chosen a gown without the help of your mother. You would have no idea of how to travel from here to Paris without a courier. Do you really imagine, therefore, that you are capable of choosing wisely the man to whom you will be married for the rest of your life?"
"If I leave the choice to you, how can you possibly know if we will be suited to each other when we are together?"
Valda asked.
"Suppose I conceived a violent hatred for him."
"In which case I would obviously not make you marry him, however far the arrangements had proceeded," the Comte answered. "But I promise you, Valda, because I know you so well and because I love you, I shall choose a man who has all the qualities that I think desirable in your husband."
"I cannot believe there are many paragons waiting about for me to fall into their arms," Valda said sarcastically. "If they are so exceptional, why are they not married already?"
The Comte sighed. "I am not going to pretend to you, Valda, because you are far too intelligent, that the nobleman who I consider for you as a husband will not find your fortune the main attraction. At the same time, you are very lovely. I think a man would have to be made of granite not to fall in love with you."
"But suppose he does not?" Valda asked in a very low voice.
She was thinking as she spoke that the average Frenchman had not only a wife but also a mistress. Her mother and her stepfather would have been horrified if they realized how much Valda knew of the intrigues and affaires de cour of their friends and acquaintances. But the servants, and even her governesses, had always talked in front of children as if they were deaf, and because Valda was interested, she carefully gave no indication, which might have made them suspicious, that she was listening to their gossip. The Comte de Merlimont and his attractive English wife filled their house in Paris and their various chateaux in France with the gay, sophisticated, brilliant personalities of the social world. Valda, being still in the schoolroom, was not allowed to mix with their guests, except for an hour a day when she came down to the salon at 5 o'clock. It was when they were in London that she and her mother had tea together, English style, but in France the ladies merely sat about chattering or working at their embroidery. Having greeted Valda in a somewhat condescending manner, they would return to the spicy gossip that had amused them before her entrance. Valda would listen and store away.